Hello and welcome to Pandora's Box. This is Kalia. And today I'm going to be talking about spiritually surviving narcissistic abuse. Narcissistic abuse can be one of the most soul-damaging experiences. Most people who have experienced this would agree this kind of abuse has been the most painful thing in their lives. The question becomes, how do I survive this? In my experience, people who have been demolished by the narcissist and his or her entourage of what we call flying monkeys do survive, but they're never the same. In some ways, we are better, and in some ways, we recognize that our innocence has been lost and we will never get it back. In our innocence, we look at the world as a friendly place. We believe in love and the promise of a beautiful and loving relationship with others, whether it be friends, family, or a significant other. But the reality we've experienced shows us that it doesn't really matter how loving, kind, helpful, caring, compassionate, understanding, and forgiving we are. Some people will never love us. Some people will never accept us. Some people will never forgive us for the things that they've imagined we have done to them. Some people will never see us as good because they're far too vested in seeing us as bad, usually to mask a deep insecurity within themselves. Love does not conquer all. Love does not heal all wounds. Offering more love does not heal a toxic relationship. In fact, in many cases, it makes it worse. So what happens to us spiritually when we realize that the magic elixir of love has no power in the world of narcissism? Those who hate us will always seem to hate us no matter what we do. There's no way we can redeem ourselves. There's no amount of love or forgiveness that will heal this relationship. There's nothing more we can do. We're left with no choice but to walk away. When we're touched by the darkness and evils of the world, something changes in us. It's easy to feel powerless. It's easy to feel life has lost its magic, its beauty, and all that is good. It can be very difficult to find the magic again, to believe in life, believe in love, and dare to dream of a better future. It can be difficult to find the love again somewhere deep inside of ourselves. Our spiritual challenge is to find the love again. Our spiritual challenge is to withdraw our attention and energy from all things and people outside of ourselves and focus inward to that still, quiet place within where God lives, where our spirit is. Many people lose faith in God after the evils of humanity have wreaked havoc in their lives, oftentimes completely unraveling it until there is little to nothing left. How could a loving God let this happen? I hear this all the time, and I've asked this question myself. This is a time where we often lose faith and we lose our will to live. We've lost faith in the goodness or the godness of life. We often no longer believe there's anything good left in the world. We sink to an all-time low and live in a place of darkness. But this is not the time to take your own life, even if you feel that way sometimes. Why would you choose to take your own life at the time when you feel most disconnected to God? What do you imagine would be waiting for you on the other side? Most people probably don't ask those questions at times like this. They only want to get out of pain. They only want to leave the world that has shown them so much pain and anguish. Our imagined death becomes our escape, the only way we perceive we can end the painful reality that we find ourselves in. I know this place well. I've been here many times in my life. I say to myself, I no longer wish to live in a world with so much darkness. There must be a better place. And there is a better place. I'm here to tell you that there is a better place, and you don't have to leave this physical body to find it. You merely need to leave the darkness of the world behind. Narcissists will pull you into their own darkness. They put their repressed pain on you. They punish you for how they are feeling deep inside. They blame you for their warped reality. They make you believe it's your fault. They make you question your reality and your sanity. They rip you apart piece by piece until there's nothing left, and then they discard you like a piece of trash, and you feel like a piece of trash. You feel that your life no longer has value. You feel unloved, unwanted, uncared for. Life becomes empty and meaningless. How do you get from here to the better place that I talk about? How do you find the meaning and the purpose in your life again? How do you find a God you can truly believe in? The better place I speak of is not out there in the world. It's not in the world of the narcissist. It's within you. It's beyond the ego, the crazy making voice inside your own head, the voice that won't let up. Narcissists are driven by their ego. In fact, most of humanity are driven by their ego as they pursue the trappings of material life. They're driven by how things appear on the outside, how they are perceived, how much money and power they have, and how much attention, adoration, and approval they receive from the outside world. Being wrong about anything is a fate worse than death to a narcissist. Wrong equals the deepest levels of shame and the deepest sense of inadequacy. The ego fears being wrong because it equates being wrong with disapproval. Narcissists live in a world of perfectionism. On some levels, they do believe that they're perfect and everyone around them are the ones who are wrong. And this perfectionism is the ego in its attempt to survive in the world. One learns early on that being wrong could result in not only disapproval, but death. Because to a young child, being rejected or abandoned by a parent equals a fear of death. A child knows it can't survive without that parent. It's helpless and dependent. It's needy. The dark reality of the narcissist begins in childhood, where the needs of that child were not being met in a healthy and loving way. That child learns to deceive, to control and manipulate in order to get its needs met. It learns to compete with his or her siblings for attention, and that carries over to the classmates, friendships, and ultimately the primary relationships in adulthood. The inner world of a narcissist is too complex and confusing to be able to make sense of it. I always say you can't make sense out of insanity. In the Merriam-Webster dictionary, the definition of insanity includes a severely disordered state of mind, usually occurring as a specific disorder, and A second part of that definition is extreme folly or unreasonableness. Now, most of us can agree that malignant narcissists possess a severely disordered state of mind and that they are extremely unreasonable. Therefore, we can conclude that the narcissist is indeed insane. But the type of insanity he or she possesses is easily masked in our society. The insanity of the narcissist doesn't reveal itself to everyone and only reveals itself in circumstances where the narcissist is being triggered. The insanity of the narcissist allows him or her to lie, cheat, steal, manipulate, and destroy without consequence because they don't appear on the outside to be someone capable of such things. They often appear to be victims because they have this crazy ability to turn a situation around completely and accuse others of doing the very thing that they are doing. Crazy making? Absolutely. When you've been exposed to this kind of insanity, what do you do to get your own sanity back? Once again, you need to go within and find that still, small voice that is whispering to you through all the noise in your head. Listen. Malignant narcissism is like a virus. It spreads throughout the family and social circles, infecting each person in its sphere of influence. In order to heal the virus, you must quarantine yourself. Get out. Get away. You must recognize the relationship with the narcissist as the dark, destructive entity that it is. And as I said before, your love is not enough to heal this situation. You must heal yourself. The virus of narcissism causes those who have been infected to display narcissistic behaviors. Those infected will treat you the same way the narcissist did. They will have the same arrogance, hatefulness, and lack of accountability that the narcissist had. They will have the same lack of compassion and will treat you with disdain. They will blame you and they will tell you that it's your fault. You caused this. In order to heal, you must break free from those who have been infected. As I said, you must quarantine yourself. Get to safety. Get away. Stop investing your precious energy in trying to explain to those who have been infected that they are being manipulated by a narcissist. They won't be able to hear you. So save your breath. You're going to need it. Deep within you is the truth. Deep within you is the love of the universe, the love of God. This is where you must go. It may be very difficult for you to find this place at first, but don't give up. It's here within you, waiting for you to connect with it. Your higher self, the aspect of you that is in communion with the Creator, the source of all life, has always been here waiting for you. It has never abandoned you. You are the one who unconsciously abandoned it. And it's not angry at you for turning away. It understands the human condition. It understands how difficult this journey through physical life on earth can be. It understands how easy it can be to lose heart and be disconnected from one's soul. It understands how easy it can be to lose faith that there is something much greater than the dramas that we find ourselves entwined in. This aspect of you, your personal God aspect, is here right now, waiting for you to remember it. It whispers to you through the darkness, through the noise of the egoic mind. It wants you to know you are not alone. and there really is something worth living for. You simply haven't found it yet. But if you continue to sit still long enough and listen, you will find it. The it I speak of is your own connection with the divine. Once you feel this connection fully, you'll feel your oneness with the universe, with God, with all that is. And when you truly feel your oneness, all sense of separation and aloneness disappears. When connected to the oneness, you become immune to the virus of narcissism. It can no longer infect you. This virus is the darkness of humanity that is born in ignorance and the lack of love. Love never hurts us. It's the lack of love that hurts. But when we find that love within ourselves through the connection to our higher self, the lack of love can no longer make its way in. As we sit in our pain of feeling unwanted, unloved, devalued, and disconnected, the pain begins to dissolve. It doesn't usually happen overnight. It's a process. But when we find the courage to sit in the silence and allow all that is unlike love to emerge and be released, we begin to create an emptiness within us that can be filled with love. The more we release anything unlike love, the more room we make for true love to come in. The true love I speak of is not a romantic love with another person. It's a direct connection to the wellspring of love that can be accessed from within. But most often, before we can access this wellspring, we must clear out everything in our energy field that is unlike love. This means we need to face our own self-loathing and self-abuse. We need to sit with our own feelings of inadequacy, our own lack of self-worth, and our own feelings of being disconnected from life. We need to surrender to the higher self and take our power back from the distorted ego that wants to control us. It is the distorted ego that tries to keep us safe by keeping us small and insignificant. The virus of narcissism is really the voice of the distorted, malignant ego that needs to keep us small. If we dare realize that we are God, we will also realize that the ego has been lying to us all along. We are not that small, insignificant creature we've come to believe we are. We are magnificent creator beings who have the power to create universes. When we realize our God light, we can no longer play small. We no longer put ourselves beneath others or buy into the distorted egoic projections of others that tell us that we are somehow unworthy of love. It is from one's own feelings of unworthiness that he or she cast the blame upon others. The virus of narcissism causes people to gain a feeling of superiority by attempting to make others feel inferior. In the eyes of God, we are all equal. We are all worthy of love. We are all magnificent creator beings. This is not about we are good and they are bad. We must develop an understanding that humanity has a virus that is very destructive, and a majority of people on the planet have caught this virus. This virus can be healed, but only in those who are willing to see the truth. The truth is the ultimate healer. The truth is, if you are the one who needs to feel superior by making others inferior, you will forever be defending yourself against your inferior enemies. When you realize that we are all created equal, you will realize that you have nothing to defend against. You no longer need to invest your energy in trying to appear superior or good enough or worthy of love. You already know that you are good enough. You already know you are worthy of love, and nobody has the power to take this from you. Even the most malignant of narcissists are worthy of love, but they feel so disconnected from the true source of love, and this is what causes their narcissism. The reason you could never love a narcissist enough to open his heart or her heart is that the wellspring of love is within us. And if we don't have access to this wellspring, we can't feel it when it comes to us from the outside. This is why the key to healing is to go within. A malignant narcissist won't go within because he or she does not want to face all the repressed pain and anguish that resides there, just beneath the surface of awareness. It's easier to project that pain onto innocent others. When we do turn our attention within, we need to feel the pain that we've spent our lives running from. It is in feeling our pain that the gateway of heaven is opened to us, because we learn to have compassion for the aspect of us that is in pain. We learn to love the inner child that didn't get the love, the compassion, and the care it needed in order to feel its sense of worthiness and belonging. The one who needs our love the most is the innocent child within us. We will often find this aspect of us sitting alone in a dark corner of our reality, banished from our own recognition. We may have learned early in life that our child innocence was not welcomed, loved, or wanted. We may have banished that child in order to appear more grown up. We may have learned how we needed to show up in order to be approved of. We may have learned we needed to act in a certain way in order to fit in. So the child within us gets stuffed further and further into the darkness. As a result, we become more and more cut off from our true self and instead become a product of narcissistic society. We behave how we think we should behave. We act like we think we should act. We dress how we think we should dress. We pursue the career path we feel will bring us the most recognition, money, power, and/or approval. We choose to love the one who looks the most physically beautiful, regardless of his or her inner state of emotional wellness. We learn to believe what people tell us rather than what we feel inside. We learn to distrust ourselves. As we heal, we feel. We feel what we never really allowed ourselves to feel before. It hurts. It has hurt for a very long time. Only we were so disconnected that we were numb to our own pain. We were so caught up in narcissistic society, we forgot how to feel. True love comes from our ability to really feel. When we're disconnected from our feeling selves, we can't feel love. We can feel lost. We feel our own neediness. We feel our need for attention and approval, and sometimes we even feel our anger. But we don't really feel authentic love. The feelings we do have are more our animalistic survival instincts. We don't need to feel love to procreate. Lust is sufficient. We don't need to feel love to get a mate. Our need for approval to belong and be accepted into the community is sufficient. Love is really not about your relationship to the world outside of you. It's about your relationship to the God within you. When you get that relationship right, all other relationships will begin to reflect this one. Narcissists are attracted to the light, moths to a flame. So don't think that the narcissist is attracted to you just because of your weaknesses. If you're a bright light, you may become a target. It's not that the narcissist sets out consciously to destroy the light. It is that he wants to destroy the reflection that the light is showing him. The evils of narcissism can only operate in the darkness. So the narcissist is attracted to the very thing that threatens to expose him. When you light a candle in a dark room, what has been hidden by the darkness begins to come to light. When you light many candles, the room becomes completely illuminated. The narcissist realizes he or she is exposed and can't hide around this person. His or her flaws, weaknesses, and dark agendas can be seen. And when the narcissist becomes aware that the light is exposing his darkness, he quickly attempts to snuff out the light. You may already possess a great deal of light. You may have already done a great deal of work on yourself. But if you still have not fully connected with the God within, you'll still be vulnerable to the destruction of the narcissist as he or she attempts to snuff out your flame. Your flame is the fire that burns within you. It is the light that you are. It is your light. And if your light gets snuffed out, you may feel completely lost. You're left in the darkness and can't find your way back home. What can you possibly do in such a dark time? Prayer and meditation. Prayer is powerful, but many don't understand prayer. Prayer is when you talk to God, and meditation is when you listen. Learning how to pray will help you to break free of the darkness that surrounds you. It's often the darkness that brings us to our knees. And when we're on our knees, what else can we do but pray, but go into that communion with the source of our being? I want to thank you for listening. I have part two coming up, which is on the power of prayer. So stay tuned.